Great singing this morning. You guys are awesome. Lots of great singing. As you take your Bibles this morning, let's open and we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 5. And is Aaron here? Rodriguez? Your Bible's up here, so I'm going to give it to you. Lost and found. You need your Bible. So if you guys need a Bible this morning, we have extra Bibles too. So just let us know if you need one. You can raise your hand. We want you to have one to be able to follow along. And also, if you don't have a Bible and you take that Bible this morning, that's for you to keep and for you to have with you. We want you to have your own copy of the Bible to get to know and read and understand. So, so let's turn there this morning, Matthew chapter 5. And we've been studying this great Sermon on the Mount from Jesus. And this morning, we come to verse 17. Through verse 20. What are some things that you can think of that go really well together? We can make a whole list of different things. You guys know this. Peanut butter and jelly, right? Peanut butter and jelly go well together. French fries and cheeseburgers. Summertime and going to the beach. A pen and paper. Popcorn and the movie theater. We could make a list that goes on and on, things that just go really well together. And then we could think of some things that don't fit together, like a cat and a mouse, oil and water. I like this one, toothpaste and orange juice. Have you guys ever done that? Like you brush your teeth in the morning and then you have some orange juice? Gross. Those things don't go together. We can make a list that goes on and on of things that don't fit together or don't belong together also. Some things go really well together, some things don't. And if you've been around church, you know that even just a little bit around church, you would know that a Christian goes really well together with their Bible. A Christian and a Bible just belong together. They go together really well, like peanut butter and jelly. Some Christians will even keep the exact same Bible as theirs for a really long time. They call it their Bible. That's my Bible. Some people even have a really special case that they carry it in. Maybe that's you. Some Christians mark up their Bibles with highlighters and underlines and notes on the side just to get to know their Bible really well. Their Bible. Some Christians even have their name like printed on the cover of the Bible. Is that any of you guys? Do you have your name on your Bible? Yeah, there's some of you guys here. That's how I knew that was Aaron's Bible, actually. Christians go together well with their Bible. They belong together, a Christian and a Bible. That's obvious. But I wonder about what you think about every part of the Bible. We know that Christians definitely love and belong together with the New Testament, that second part of the Bible in the later half with all the books about Jesus and the church and life as a Christian. But what about the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible that when you look at the opening page, that index, it's the list of the books from Genesis all the way through Malachi. What about the parts of the Bible that are they're even older, that go back to the time of Abraham and Moses and the books of the law and the books written by prophets? What about the Old Testament? Does that really fit in the life of a Christian? How should we think about the Old Testament? Does that go with the life of a Christian? Well, the answer to that is definitely yes. I'm guessing that's what you would say. You know that. The Old Testament does belong in your life if you're a Christian. It's so important for you as a Christian. We all know that we need the whole Bible. We need not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament. All of the Bible belongs in the life of a Christian. And there's lots of places that we could look to know this. You might know 2 Timothy 3:16. It tells us that all of Scripture is breathed out by God. It's a book that God wrote, and it's useful, all of it. It's useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, to train us in righteousness that we can be complete and equipped for every good work. All of God's word is useful for your life. All of God's word matters very much for your life, whether you're a Christian or not. Romans 15:4 says kind of something similar about the Old Testament specifically. It says that whatever was written in former days, that's the Old Testament, whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. That's saying all of the Bible, including the Old Testament, is something that should belong in your life as a Christian to tell you about God and to teach you and to encourage you, to train you, to warn you, to give you hope. All of the Bible, not just the New Testament, which I think sometimes we might start to think that. All of the Bible, not just the New Testament, belongs in your life, even the Old Testament. And that's the point that Jesus is making here in Matthew chapter 5 this morning where we look. Here as Jesus was preaching on the mountainside to everyone listening, Jesus explained in some really clear ways why the Old Testament, why the law and the prophets also matters, also belongs in the life of a Christian, why it matters for your life. Jesus gives us some good reasons to recognize and to honor and to listen to the Old Testament. Jesus gives us what we need to know about parts of the Bible that came before he was here on earth, before the time of Jesus, before the New Testament. Here's a big idea to write down if you're taking notes, that I need all of the Bible, including the Old Testament. Jesus makes that point clearly. I need all of the Bible, including the Old Testament. Jesus says it all belongs, it all fits, it all matters for us in our life. The law and the prophets, that's the Old Testament, are not part of your Bible just to ignore or pretend isn't there or doesn't matter. We should never let those parts of the Bible just stay stuck together and not read them. We need to keep getting to know all of the Bible according to Jesus. Let's read from Matthew 5, starting in verse 17. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus, in this sermon, has been telling us about, describing what a citizen of God's kingdom looks like, what somebody who's really entered God's kingdom looks like, how they can be described. And he's been telling us about how because they've been changed by Jesus, they're going to be salt and light to this world. They're going to live in a way that shows the world that Jesus has saved them and they don't belong in this kingdom of this world anymore. They are part of the kingdom of heaven. And now Jesus, in this sermon, through the rest of it, is going to tell us what that looks like if you're a Christian, how you can be light in this dark world. And he's going to show us that it's by living a changed life, a life that's righteous, a life of obeying Jesus, a life of holiness. And some people, as Jesus was teaching, were probably starting to wonder, how does this fit with all of the parts of the Bible that come before this? There's a whole section of the Bible, the Old Testament, that came before this. And they were wondering, how is Jesus' teaching going to fit with that? Is Jesus just going to ignore or say that part of the Bible doesn't matter anymore? No, Jesus is going to teach us how to think about what comes before the New Testament, what comes before he was here on earth. And first, you can notice point one, that Jesus says the law, that's shown in the Old Testament is good. He wants us to know that the law that's in the Old Testament is good for us to know. Verses 17 and 18 say that. He wants us to not just think of that part of the Bible as something that doesn't matter anymore, or that now that he's come, we can just kind of get rid of it and just pay attention to the New Testament. Look at verse 17 again. He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them." Those words, law and the prophets, that's just a way for us to think about what God had written already in the Old Testament. It's a nickname for the Old Testament, law and prophets. You guys have a nickname? You probably have a nickname. Maybe your family calls you, I don't know, something, Bud, Buddy, I don't know what your nickname is. But we could think of the nickname of the Old Testament as the law and the prophets. And there, in that part of the Bible, God lays down the law. He tells us in books like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, he tells us his laws, his commandments. He lays down these statements that tell us about what he says is right and what he says is wrong. God tells us what is good and what is not good. He tells us what should be obeyed and what should not be done. And there's no arguing with him about it. God gives his law in that part of the Bible, especially thinking about the Ten Commandments. And then there, in that part of the Bible, are also prophets, these men who came along to make that law known and to make it proclaimed and make it clear for God's people. So that part of the Bible is God's law telling us what's right and what's wrong, and it's prophets making that known. And just think about what that means, like that we have what God wants us to know is right and what is wrong. We don't have to wonder what God wants us to know about good and evil, about what's right and what's not. God's word makes it clear, and he tells us about himself and about us. He wants us to know what's true. He wants us to know his law, and he wants us to know if you've broken his law, if you sin. Here's what one pastor says about the law that's in that part of the Bible. He says it expresses the character of God and his will for our life. And it also teaches us the true character of man. That whole part of the Bible is telling us about how awesome and good and holy and right God is. And it's telling us all of these stories of how sinful, how short God's people fall of obeying his law. All of those laws in that beginning part of the Bible tell us what God is like, how holy and right God is, and how we are not. It tells us about how we fail miserably, each of us, at obeying what God wants. We've broken God's commandments. We fall short of being who God wants us to be. Even from the very first humans in the Bible, from Adam and Eve, breaking God's law. Now, what did Jesus want us to know when he said this verse here, verse 17? He wants us to know that law is not something he's come to just get rid of or pretend isn't something for our life. Jesus wants us to know that the law is good and it's right, and he didn't come to abolish it. Then look at verse 18. He says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." He's saying none of that part of the Bible just becomes unimportant or something just to ignore. Every little detail of his word, every little iota and dot, like the little markings of letters, like apostrophes and commas and crossing your T's and dotting your I's, every letter, every word of God's word still matters and is going to be accomplished. God is saying, Jesus is saying, God's word still matters. It's still something to pay attention to. if we stop right there, we could ask, like, what should we take away from what Jesus is saying there? What does this matter for you in middle school? Well, I think one thing we could say is that God wants you really to keep on getting to know all of his word. Jesus wants you to know all of God's word. He wants you to know everything God has said. And I think just a simple encouragement to you if you're a Christian is to not let those pages of the Bible that come before the New Testament especially just kind of get ignored. Don't let those pages of your Bible never get opened or stay really clean and stuck together like you've never read that part of the Bible. No, God wants you to open those pages of the Bible and read them and let them especially teach you about God and teach you about what God is like, teach you about what we're like and how we don't follow his law. Now, I know that doesn't mean you're going to understand everything in the Bible right away. I know that from experience, it doesn't always come easy when you read some parts of the Bible that seem kind of confusing. There's going to be parts of the Bible that you don't always understand or really get right away. Sometimes even just reading for us is not very fun. I know that. But if you're a Christian, if you're a citizen of God's kingdom, let me just encourage you that Jesus says, keep on going. Keep on knowing what's here. All of this really matters for your life. It's not been done away with. It matters for you to understand and to know God better. He wants us to know it. He wants us to know everything about him that he's made clear. The Old Testament isn't just something to ignore. It is good for us to hear and to know, especially to know what God is like and to know what we're like. But point two, we also need to see that Jesus says that the law points us to him. The law points us to him. It is good and it points us to him. The Old Testament show us our need for Jesus. That part of the Bible points you directly to Jesus. Look at the end of verse 17. Jesus says, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Later, he talks in verse 18 about the law and the prophets being accomplished, fulfilled, things coming true. Jesus came to fulfill, to be all of who that part of the Bible was leading up to and points to. There was another story, and you can find it in the end of the book of Luke, where Jesus is walking with some disciples, and it says that beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, that's the Old Testament, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them the things about himself in all of the scriptures. That part of the Bible is about Jesus. It's pointing us to Jesus. I think of like when you're on the freeway, when you're on the road and you see a big sign sometimes, like while you're driving down the road and maybe it has an arrow and it says, here's the city you're headed to. You guys ever see that on the road? The big sign that says like Los Angeles or it says San Diego. It tells you the city that you're going directly to as you're driving. Well, as we go through the Old Testament, as you read through that part of the Bible, there's almost like a big arrow over it saying, this is all going toward Jesus. It's saying, here's where this is headed. Here's where this is making us think of and who this is making us think of. It's pointing us directly to one person, to Jesus. How do the law and the prophets lead us or point us to Jesus? Well, you could think of the places where it tells us about those ceremonies, those sacrifices from those stories. There's the stories of the blood of bulls and goats. Those were all pointing us to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus, who died on the cross to take away our sins. Then you could think of all of those commandments of Moses that men disobey and fall short of. But here in the New Testament, we find only one person who keeps all of those commandments perfectly, who never sinned, who was absolutely perfect, unlike anyone else ever could be, who kept all of God's commands, who loved God with all of his heart and loved his neighbor perfectly. Then you could think of all of those prophecies that come about throughout the Old Testament, pointing to a future where there would be a Messiah, this special king who would come. All of it was pointing to Jesus. All of that earlier part of the Bible was meant to show us to this perfect person, to Jesus, who was coming, who would come to fulfill all that it was saying, especially fulfilling it by dying on a cross in our place. All of it points us to Jesus. When you think about the Old Testament, when you think about times where it gives you laws that you know you haven't kept perfectly, like honoring your father and your mother, who's done that perfectly in this room? I mean, just think of a simple one like that. We've all failed to do that perfectly. When you think of laws that you haven't kept or stories of people who sinned and failed to honor God, when you read in that part of the Bible how every person sins and how we need a perfect king and a perfect savior, it should all make you think of how there was one savior who did come, who God sent, one perfect one who came and fulfilled all that part of the Bible was pointing to. It should make you think of Jesus. When we think of the law, when we think of those things God wants for our life, it shouldn't just make us think, well, I just want to try to keep those things better, and then I'll be in God's kingdom. If I just do these commandments a little bit better, I'll be good with God, and I'll have a right relationship with him. No, that the law does only show us that we fall short, that we haven't kept God's commands. But then Galatians 3:24 says this, it's that the law is a teacher that leads us to Jesus. The law is something that shows us our sin, but then shows us one person who never sinned. It leads us to Jesus Christ, who accomplished what it promised. It was written to show us that we have sinned, that we haven't obeyed God, but there is one who never sinned and who obeyed God perfectly, one who was sent to die in our place and to give us his righteousness, those of us who believe in him. We all need to be right with God. We need our sin forgiven, and our sin has ruined all of our chances to have a right relationship with God. We're lawbreakers. That's what the Old Testament teaches us. But also points us to Jesus, who lived a perfect life, who died in the place of sinners, who fulfilled the law and the prophets. It was pointing to him. That's why Jesus is good news for sinners. Jesus came and did what you didn't, what you haven't. Jesus came and fulfilled the law and the prophets. And he did that, and by doing that, he can save you. We should praise God for sending Jesus, his son, to fulfill the law and the prophets. The Old Testament, the law points us to Jesus. But then number three, notice last that Jesus also says that if I'm a Christian, righteousness will show up in the way I live. If I'm a Christian, righteousness will show up in the way I live. In verse 19 here, Jesus is telling us that if we're true followers of him, people who are really part of the kingdom of heaven, we will want to, we will aim to obey his law. We will take seriously obeying God's word. We will want to do what honors and pleases God. We're not the kind of people, if you become a Christian, who say, obeying God doesn't matter anymore because Jesus has saved me, so I'm good. Now I can just do whatever I want. No, if you're a Christian, you've been saved by Jesus in order to obey God, in order to honor him, to live for him, to follow him. Now we know that some of those laws in the Old Testament, some of those ones that really seem strange to us, some of those have ended now that Jesus came. Those big ceremonies and those sacrifices, those ended when Jesus accomplished his work on the cross. He fulfilled that part of the law. There's other specific laws that were only for God's people, and those have ended now that Jesus came. But we know that we don't have like a temple or sacrifices. Some of those laws that God spoke of don't affect us anymore, or aren't for Christians to follow. But what Jesus is saying here in verse 19 is that true Christians will love to obey God, to follow his commandments, to do what God wants for our life. True Christians will love to obey God and do what God wants for our life. We should love to do what God's word commands. Verse 19, Jesus says, "Whoever does these things and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." He's encouraging you, if you're a Christian, to live a life that honors God, to obey God. We should say this: this is not what earns ourselves a place in God's kingdom. The works of the law are never what could save us by doing good things. You guys know that. Works are not how God saves sinners. It's only through the work that Jesus did in our place, perfect on the cross. But a Christian, somebody who's saved by Jesus, will and should show fruit of a new life that loves God and loves to obey God's law. Jesus says then in verse 20, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." He's saying somebody who's really part of the kingdom of heaven is going to have real righteousness in our life. Not things that we do to save us, but that show that God has already saved us. There's a kind of a fake righteousness that he calls out there in verse 20 that we need to catch and to notice. He talks about the Pharisees. The Pharisees are those religious people who loved the way that they looked on the outside, but neglected, didn't care about who they were on the inside. They wanted to be separate, to look good. They added all these different laws to God's word, even more so to try to earn a special place with God. They were focused on themselves instead of God. They did good things only for show, to show others how good they were. And then they compared themselves to other people just to make themselves feel better. They went around judging others who weren't as good as them and spent all their time focused and looking down on other people's sin. The Pharisees were hypocrites. They were whitewashed tombs who looked clean on the outside, but actually were wicked and lost and dead on the inside. I think of different stories we could think to understand a Pharisee. Maybe it's somebody comes over to your house and you clean up most of the house, but then you put all the mess in your room and close the door. Have you ever done that when you have company over? Like, most of your house looks good, but your room on the inside, where you know, is actually a total mess. The Pharisees were only caring about what people saw on the outside, but in their hearts, who they were on the inside was a total mess. If you're really in his kingdom, Jesus wants you not to be somebody who's a fake lawkeeper, who only does things for other people to notice. Jesus wants you to be somebody who has real obedience from your heart if you're a Christian. He wants you to be somebody who lives truly righteously, truly in righteousness. And he's going to show us through the rest of this sermon what that looks like for you to be that kind of citizen of God's kingdom who loves righteousness, not just on the outside, but that's true and real on the inside. We also know that the Pharisees thought they could enter the kingdom through being good enough. If they just followed the law of the Old Testament, then they might be okay. Just ask the Apostle Paul. He used to be a Pharisee, and he talked about how he relied on his works of the law in order to be right with God. If he just kept the commands, if he just looked good enough, if he just did those things, he would be part of God's kingdom. Until one day, Paul realized that Jesus is the only perfect one. Jesus is the one without sin, who is the only Savior who kept the law perfectly, who fulfilled the law, who God sent to save sinners. Through Jesus only can we enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. He's the only way for you to be part of God's kingdom. You've sinned, you've fallen short. You can't keep his law perfectly, but Jesus did. He gives a perfect righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees, true, real righteousness. When we come to a paragraph like this, there's a lot of different things in there that we could try to understand, but I think the big takeaway, maybe something for you to ask yourself this morning is to ask, what about you? Where do you land with these verses? Have you received Jesus' righteousness in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Have you received Jesus' righteousness in order to enter the kingdom of heaven? Or are you relying on your own righteousness that falls short? Are you somebody who's in the kingdom? Or are you a Pharisee today? Are you somebody who's trying to be good enough on your own, who's trying to keep God's laws but is really falling short? Are you somebody who looks good to others on the outside but isn't really at all and doesn't belong in God's kingdom? Have you become a true Christian, somebody who receives Jesus, the perfect one, whose life starts to show the fruit of real righteousness that comes from your heart because Jesus saved you? Jesus reminds us, if you're a Christian, righteousness will show up in the way you live. Not to be saved, but because you have been saved. In this paragraph, in this part of the Bible, Jesus reminds us we need the whole Bible, not just the New Testament. We also need the Old Testament, which gives us the law. Who fulfilled that law? Who did it point to? It all points to Jesus, to righteous Jesus, the only one who kept it perfectly, the perfect Savior you and me need. It's part of the Bible that belongs in your life to show you God, how holy he is, to show you your sin, how sinful you are, and to show you to Jesus, the only one who can save us and make us into people who are truly righteous. Father, we come to you this morning and thank you for these verses that remind us how incredible, how amazing you are, Jesus. The fact that you perfectly fulfilled the law. You accomplished what we could not. You lived a perfect life. You came as the sacrifice in our place to take away our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and that whoever believes in you will not perish but have everlasting life. We'll be able to enter into your kingdom because what you did for us in fulfilling the law. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and we pray that you would help us to understand it even this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.